Well, it's good to be back with you after being down with COVID for a couple weeks. Thanks to Matt and Daniel for filling in and picking up some of the slack while it was gone. If you were here two Sundays ago or you watched online, you know that I pre-recorded the sermon. That's in part because Saturday night is when I started getting sick, and I literally, at 9 o'clock or 9:30, I texted Matt and Daniel and said, "Hey, we need to have a conference call." And they were loath to call me, I think. And so I didn't want to, you know, just dump it on them at 9:30 at night. So I pre-recorded that. But when I was pre-recording that at whatever it was, 5:45 in the morning, I had 102.7 temperature at that moment. Sweat was rolling down my back. And I might have been a little delirious. So if I didn't make any sense, you might think, well, it's no different than any other Sunday. That's fine. But glad to be back. Technology is a great thing when it works. But I'm glad not to be at home because you only can watch so many Netflix movies, you know, before your brain starts to just like fry and your eyes melt. So now before I begin, I need to tell you a little story. This last Wednesday, I was in Awana, helping out in Awana, and I was listening to Verses, and I happened to be with Cooper Drake, who's sitting right over here. I see you eyeballing me. And Cooper was doing his Verses. And he came to Psalm 100, and the verse that he was doing in Psalm 100 was, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." But Cooper said, "Enter his gates on thanksgiving and his courts with praise." So I started laughing, and he's like, "What? What?" I said, "Do you think we can enter his courts on any day besides thanksgiving?" And then he realized what he said, and we sat there and we laughed together. And it was just it was a really fun moment being there. But it's also true that we can enter his gates on Thanksgiving and Cooper every other day of the year, right? That's right. Great. Open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Over these last months, 6 or 7 months at least, we've been looking at the prayers of Paul. And Paul has a lot to say about prayer. He has a lot of advice that he gives about prayer. But we look specifically at Paul as he prayed. Not when he told people to pray and all of those things, but how he actually prayed. And for these last months, we've been working on that. And I think one of the things that we learned along the way is that Paul prayed very differently than the way that we pray. And so we have a lot that we can learn from him as we look at how he prayed. Now, outside of the prayers of Paul, he gave a lot of advice and talked a lot about prayer. And Colossians 4:2 is one of the places where he talks about prayer. And I want to read that with you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Maybe I should be in Colossians and not 1 Thessalonians. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it on Thanksgiving." Right, Cooper? On Thanksgiving. Only on Thanksgiving, no other day of the year. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Now that word, "continue steadfastly," or if you have an NIV, it says, "devote yourself," is a word that comes from the Greek word to make a vow, to make a commitment, to devote yourself completely. So if you read that with the rest of the verse, verse 2, devote yourself completely to prayer. Make a vow to pray. And what we want to do today and what I want to do with you is I want to work on that vow. I want to work on a strategy. Here in the last sermon on prayer for Paul's prayers, I want us to work on a strategy of how we're going to do verse 2. How are we going to devote ourselves? How are we going to commit ourselves to praying? And not just talking about it, not just wishing that we would, not just thinking, oh, it's only the spiritual elite that could have this kind of great prayer life. How are you and I going to have a prayer strategy that matters? And that's what we're going to be working on today. Now, just from a practical point of view, one of the reasons we're doing this is because I have found that the people that have the kind of prayer life that I envy, those people have found a prayer rhythm that works for them. And what that means is that there's no one size fits all. We're all different. God made us differently. Our schedules are different. Our home life is different. Our everything is different about us. There's no one size fits all. But the people that become successful in their prayer life are those that have found a rhythm that works for them. And I want to work on that with you. And I'm going to call you to commit to a prayer rhythm, a change in your prayer life. And so I want us to do verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. I want us to make a commitment. Now, a vow is not the same as a New Year's resolution. We're coming up here kind of getting close to New Year's. We're going to make our New Year's resolutions January 1st. We'll be done with them by January 20th, right? Because that's how New Year's resolutions go. A vow is not the same. A vow says, from this day forward, this will be different for me. In other words, I want us to be hearers of the word, and today I'm going to call you to be doers as well. And I want us to work on that, and I hope that it makes a difference. Now, as soon as I say that, here's what happens. I say, I'm going to call us to make a vow, to have a strategy, to commit to changing something in our prayer life. And immediately what happens, because we're all human, we begin to think of all the reasons why it's not going to work. We immediately start coming up with all of the excuses why, for us, we just can't do it. And that's the way we are. And can we just be honest enough to say that we have lousy excuses? They're weak. They're lousy. They just need to be pointed out. And so what I'm going to do is I have the top 12 excuses why we don't pray. Now, it's not the 12 days of Christmas, but it is the 12 excuses why we don't pray. And because I love sarcasm, I twisted them all into sarcastic statements so that we just enjoy them better, and maybe I stick my finger in the wound just a little bit better. So in the spirit of pulling off the Band-Aid quickly, I want us to look at these 12 top excuses for not praying. Number 12, I tried it once and it didn't work. I tried it once and it didn't work. Fundamentally, I believe that there are a lot of us that question, and we would never say it out loud, we question whether or not prayer works, whether or not God listens, whether or not God responds, whether or not we can ask for something from God and he will miraculously do it for us. And because we have this doubt in the back of our mind, prayer suddenly becomes something that is mysterious, it's mystical, and we just don't think it's going to really work. And because we don't think it's going to work, we just don't do it. I tried it once, and it didn't work. Number 11, it's safer for me to live like everything depends upon me. It's safer for me to live like everything depends upon me. Now, we in Nebraska, we are can-do people. We are get-or-done kind of people. We are independent kind of people. Prayer demonstrates dependence upon God. And there's a part of showing dependence upon God that cuts at the core of who we are. And we don't like it. We want to be independent and not dependent. And because we struggle with that feeling a little bit, prayer becomes a very low priority for us. Number 10, I win as often talking to God as I do arguing with my wife. She's laughing over there. That's kind of funny. Do you ever feel like you just really never get anywhere in your prayer life? You never get any traction. You never move ahead. You're just kind of spinning your wheels. And I think when we feel like we're making no progress, we have our great intentions. I mean, it's not like anybody would say, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I think it does matter to us. But when we go year after year and we make no progress and there's no change and there's no traction, we just get discouraged, we get frustrated, and we just decide we're not going to do it. Number 9, why can't God just get Snapchat so we can talk? And what I mean by that is that sometimes for us, God just feels so far away. And our communication with him is one-sided, not two-sided. And because it's one-sided and because we feel like we're doing all the talking, it just feels so weird. It feels like we're just talking to ourselves. And, you know, we live in this world where we want everything right now. And so, you know, like, have you ever sent somebody a text and you've been waiting like 5 minutes and they haven't responded and you get all frustrated? Well, how much more when we talk to God and it feels like we don't hear anything day after day, after year after year, there's just silence. And we just get to the point that we're just like, if he's never going to respond, I'm never going to talk to him. It would be easy if he had Snapchat and he would snap something back. It just doesn't work that way. Number eight, outside of more guns and a bigger truck, what else do I need? Have you ever actually prayed for daily bread? Probably not. Most of us have everything we need and much more. So we're not desperately praying before God for our needs for tomorrow. In fact, we have so many things that some of our prayers can feel so superficial because what do we ask? What do we really need? What do we really need God to do? There are some things along the way. We need him to miraculously do a few things. But along the way, we're not asking God to supply every one of our needs because most of our needs have already been supplied. And because we've been so blessed, it just feels like we're just going through the motions to ask. Number seven, if I can't remember my email password, how can I remember to pray? I hate it when the screen says, enter your password. Because then I type in all the ones, because we all use the same ones, right? I try this one, doesn't work, try this one, doesn't work, try this one, doesn't work. And then I call my wife, did you change the password? No. So I try this one. And in the end, I can't get in at all, and I got to reset the password to get the email, click on the link 14 times, change it. They say, you already tried that one, you got to do a different one. It's the most annoying thing in the world, right? And because I can't remember my email passwords, how am I supposed to remember to pray? I believe there are many of us, we have all the right desires. We have the motivation in our heart. We want to pray well. We want to have a significant prayer life. But then day after day, we get to the end of the day and we're like, oops, I guess I forgot again. We go through the next day. Oops, I forgot again. And it's not that we have the wrong desires. It's just somehow the priority of prayer is not high enough. And we get to the end of the day, day after day after day after day, and we realize I just forgot again. Number six, I have fewer hours in my day than other people do. And this, of course, is the classic excuse as I just don't have enough time. We have time for every single thing that is important to us. And that's just true. And until prayer is important to us, we will never have time for it. Number five, talking to God is like sharing my feelings with my wife. I just don't want to, and she can't make me. Can we just be honest enough to say there are times that we just don't want to pray? We don't want to. And no amount of me talking up here or no amount of Holy Spirit doing his convicting work and no amount of sitting with people as they pray and no amount of encouragement or reading the right books, no amount of any of that stuff is going to matter because at the end of the day, we just don't want to. And we want to do the things that we want to do and we don't want to do the things that we don't want to do and we just don't want to pray. Number four, I don't know how to, and I don't read instructions. Well, we men, we don't like to be told what to do, and we definitely don't like to read the instruction manual, which is why I think a lot of us struggle to even read our Bibles. Because the Bible is a book that is an instruction manual that tells us what to do and calls us out when we don't do it. And we don't like that. And I think if you've been along throughout the series, the notion that you don't know how to, you don't know what to say, can't be true. We've worked on prayer from so many different angles, and we looked at all the ways that Paul has done it. It's not that you don't know how. I don't think that's a valid excuse. Number three, I only believe in things I can see like the wind. Now, of course, you can't see the wind. You can see the effects of it. But I wonder if we really believe that there was a spiritual battle going on and that prayer was part of our battle, would it change whether or not we prayed? Would it change how we prayed? Would it change the frequency of our prayers? Would it change our convictions in those prayers, if we really believe that there was a spiritual battle going on, would it change how we prayed? And I think the answer is yes. I think we're going to get to heaven someday and we're going to realize that so many of the things that we battled with, whether they were internal to us or external, so many of those things were the result of spiritual battles that we could not see. And we thought it was about us, and we thought it was about a million other things, but there was a spiritual battle going on that we did not take seriously. And I really believe that if you and I can be convinced that there's a spiritual battle going on, and if we don't pray, we are setting ourselves up to lose that battle, it might just change how we see prayer. Number two, prayer sounds about as much fun as watching a Hallmark Christmas movie. All right, so when you're in COVID convalescing with your wife at Christmas time, do you know what she's looking for on Netflix? Christmas movies. Yes, yes, yes. I'd rather lick a plunger than watch another one of those. Christmas movies all the time. But what I think is true is that for a lot of people, many of us, when we think about prayer, we just think it's boring. And we don't like to do things that are boring. We want to do things that are fun. Prayer sounds boring. And even the times that we've tried to work at it, it just seemed like we're grinding through it. And there was no life. It was just kind of like doing homework or, you know, maybe we look at prayer like it's like going to the gym or eating your vegetables. We don't want to, but we know it's good for us. And as long as we have that approach and we think that prayer is going to be boring, we would never step up and actually work at it. The number one excuse, what's in it for me? And I think this is the biggie for many of us. What benefit do I personally receive when I pray? And I think this is the insidious truth behind why many of us struggle in this area. Because we want it to be about us, and as long as we don't see any benefit in it for us, the priority of prayer is very, very low. And I think that selfishness really taints how we look at prayer, how we approach prayer, how we work at it. And I think that as long as we think that we get nothing out of it, we're never going to put anything into it. So those are my top 12 excuses. Did any resonate? Did many resonate? Did all of them resonate with you? So let's just call them what they are. They are excuses. Many of them lousy excuses, but they are excuses that you and I hold on to and somehow think that it abdicates our responsibility and the privilege we have of praying. So over these last months, we've talked a lot about prayer. And we've talked about prayer from this point of view of what emerges from the examples that we have of Paul. I think some have been very helpful for me. Some have been terribly convicting for me. But I think it's important not only to recognize how he prayed, but I think it's important to actually practice praying like Paul. And most of the rest of our service this morning is going to be you practicing praying like Paul did. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through all of the passages that I studied with you guys over the last 6 months. And in each of those passages, there was one main idea around how Paul prayed that emerged. I'm going to go three at a time, and I'm going to put them on the screen. And then I'm going to ask you where you are to choose one of the three to practice. And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds where you're sitting to choose one of those three to practice right then. And it could be for you, it can be for me, it could be for your spouse, it could be for the church, it could be for the country, it could be for missionaries. It doesn't matter what the focus is. But I want us to practice doing these prayers. And maybe that's not comfortable for you, and that's okay. That's why we practice. We're not doing it out loud, so nobody's going to, like, you know, you don't have to worry about anybody judging you for not praying in the right words and all those things that we think about. But I want you, where you're at, to practice praying like Paul. And again, most of the rest of our time is this is what we're going to do. Does that make sense? So I'm going to go through three at a time. I'm going to ask you to choose one, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to practice it by yourself where you're sitting right now. Does that make sense? All right. Let's go to the first three. In 2 Thessalonians 1, we found that Paul encourages us to fill our prayers with words that show our trust in God. In Ephesians 1, it was the Holy Spirit that he calls on to come and help. In Ephesians 1, it was part of praying that the word would be effective in our lives as we read and study. So fill your prayers with words that show your trust in God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and pray that as you read his word, he would give you eyes to see what is there. So what I want you to do is that I want you to choose one of these three. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to practice it just quietly right where you're going. So choose one of the three and let's practice. All right, let's go to our next section. This one actually has four to choose from. Ephesians 1, call on the power of Jesus for those things that you need. Ephesians 3, pray for display of God's power to change you from the inside out. Ephesians 3, pray for spiritual maturity. In Colossians 1, let all that you have to be thankful for prompt you to be most appreciative of Jesus. Choose one of these four here and practice it. 30 seconds. Go to the next three. Philippians 1, we looked at how to show in your prayers that Jesus is your great treasure. Philippians 1, pray that you'd make excellent choices. And Romans 15, pray that you would live in harmony with others so when they see that harmony, it brings glory to God. And that's inside the church and outside of the church, if you remember that from Romans chapter 15. So choose one of these three to practice. 30 seconds. Go to the next three. 1 Thessalonians 3, pray for the kind of holiness that is real and practical. 1 Thessalonians 5, and if you remember this one, don't be afraid to, I've asked for grace too many times from God, so I can't ask anymore. Don't be afraid, don't stop. Liberally ask for grace. 2 Thessalonians 2 was probably, honestly, my most favorite prayer of all. Because in this one, he ties the problem to the character of God. In other words, Lord, I'm having a hard time forgiving this person, but I know that you are a forgiving God. Tying the problem to the character of God is a great way to work through in our prayers. Choose one of these three to practice. This next block is a little bit different. We did one prayer, one sermon on things that Paul asked for prayer concerning. And we found that in all the eight places where Paul asked for prayer, that he never asked for many of the things that you and I ask for. These are the four things that he constantly asks for prayer about: spiritual help, deliverance from opposition, that his ministry would grow. And he often asked that, prayed that he could go and visit the churches. In other words, I want to go and do more ministry among you. Choose one of these four and incorporate it into your practice. 30 seconds. All right, last section here. From 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This is a great prayer. God, remove these obstacles that stand in my way. It's a great prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3, pray that God would instill in you a great confidence that heaven is your real home. I think so many of the things that we struggle with revolve around this idea that we don't really long for heaven. Philemon 4-6, the whole story of Philemon and the compassion, praying for compassion in the way that we treat people, so that when people outside the church see that, it gives us a chance to talk to them about Jesus. Last section, choose one of these to practice. All right, that's a lot to process, isn't it? And if you think back to that excuse that says, oh, I don't know how to, there are a lot of really good ways to pray. And I think that deep down, all of us know that we should. And I think all of us deep down really want to. I've never met somebody who really follows Jesus that says, you know what? I don't care that my prayer life stinks. I think all of us want to work at this. Sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes we're discouraged. But I think all of us really want to. And I think one of the most important points to remember is this. Satan does not want you to pray. And every time you don't, he wins. Now, I'm a competitive guy. I don't like to lose to anybody. Most certainly, I don't like to lose to Satan. But to know that he is actively trying to stop me from doing the very thing that my heart desires to do. And every time I give in to, oh, I'm too busy, or oh, I'm too tired, oh, I don't know how, he wins. And I hate that, but it's the truth. So maybe as a place to begin, as we begin to work on formulating a prayer strategy for us, maybe a place for you to begin is to pray about your praying. Pray about your praying. And maybe that seems a little bit like weird and backwards, but it's okay to pray that God would help you with praying, that he would help you with a strategy, that he would help you find time, that he would make you sick of the excuses yet again, that you would not get to the end of your day and go, oh, it's just another day, I just forgot again, that he would help you. It's okay to pray that God would help you to pray. And maybe that's a good spot. Now, back in Colossians 4:2, again, the verse says, continue steadfastly, devote yourself, make a vow, make a commitment to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. As you begin to think about a prayer strategy, and the way I want us to think about it today in the few minutes that we have left is in these three categories. Because I think these are the three categories that if we can wrap our minds around this and if we can tie these off well for us, we can begin to move ahead in a very practical way. So the three that are up there, when are you going to pray? What are you going to pray about? And what's going to help you stay with it? And if we can begin to answer these three questions and to say, I decide this, I commit to this in each of these areas, maybe we can get a little bit of traction in this area. So let's talk about each of these just real quickly. When are you going to pray? It's a great question. For you, what time would work the best to pray? Are you a morning person? Do you need to get up early? Are you a night person? Before you go to bed, maybe it'd be a good time. Maybe you have a long drive to work, and that's a great time for you. Wednesday night prayer meeting is still going on with Matt via Zoom. Maybe that would be a great way to invest in that hour. Wednesday mornings, maybe you'd say, you know, Wednesday mornings, I'm going to get up an hour early. I'm going to get up a half hour early, whatever it is. But on Wednesdays, this is when I'm going to do it. Or maybe for you, it's Monday morning before the week begins. You want to, every Monday morning, you want to get up before, you know, a half hour before you typically do, and you're going to pray about your week, and you're going to pray through the struggles and the obstacles and wisdom and guidance and all the things for the week. Maybe it's Sundays. You want to come to church early before first service and pray here with us. So consider for you, with your natural inclination, with the schedule that you have, when is the best time for you to pray? And I want you to think about that, just where you're at, just quietly. 30 seconds to think about, when would be the best time, the most productive time for you to pray? Second, what's going to be the content? What are you going to pray about? And if you think about these prayers of Paul that we just worked through, there are a lot of great things in the midst of those prayers that you could use from a content point of view. Pray for spiritual maturity for your children. Is that a worthwhile prayer? Absolutely it is. Why not use that? Pray that God would remove certain obstacles. We all look down the pipe of our week, and there are things that stand in the way. There are difficulties that we know that are coming, whether they be physical or financial or whatever. Use those things to pray that God would remove those obstacles. Pray for a display of God's power in your life. Pray that as you open your word, that he would open your eyes. There are a lot of things in his prayers that you can use for content, but there are other things as well. You could pray for me anytime you want. So if you're sitting there going, man, I ran out of everything else to pray about. What can I pray about? Try it. I'll take your prayer anytime. But you can pray for anybody in the church. You know, if you just look around right now, just look around. It's okay. It's okay. Lots of people have masks on and some don't. It's all right. If you just look around, every single person in this room needs prayer. Every single person. And yet, it's so funny how we get in our prayers and we get a couple minutes in and we're like, oh, ran out of stuff. Got nothing else. You could get a church directory, pray through the names. Elders, staff, congregants, people working, doesn't matter who. You can do that. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, pray for our nation. I hear there's an election transition coming up. There are a lot of things to pray about in that whole area. If you like a model or a formula, that the ACTS, ACTS model, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, ACTS, would be a great model to help you with the content of your prayers. If you're still looking for other things, you could pray through our missionary list. I bet Mark and Jackie would love it if you would pray for them on occasion, maybe just on Thanksgiving, because Cooper says that's the only day you can pray. But they would love your prayers, as would the rest of our missionaries. One time I looked at the whole county, Adams County, and I decided I wanted to pray for every church in Adams County. There are a lot of churches in Adams County, but you could use that as just a prompt, as a way to work. My point is that with content, the sky is the limit. All it takes is just a little bit of planning and a little bit of work, and you have all the content and more that you need. So I want you to think about the content related to the time in question number one, when will you pray? And I want you to think about how you can do that better in your prayer life. Let me give you about 30 seconds to think about that. Final question, what prompts, what helps will you use? Listen, the people that have the best prayer lives, sometimes we get this idea that they're going to say, okay, I'm going to pray for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to pray for the next 60 minutes, and they just sit down and do it. I don't know anybody that does that. Everyone uses helps, whether it's a prayer journal, a prayer partner, a way of keeping track. I know lots of people that they have a Monday list, a Tuesday list, a Wednesday list that they work through, and when it's time to pray, they bring out their list and they start working through the prompt or the help that they have. And these days, there are so many great ways to do that. There are missionary lists that you can get, and you pray through the list. There's a book called Operation World that helps you pray through the nations of the world. It gives you everything to pray about, every question that's on there. It's a very easy thing to do. Everybody's got a phone, so you can do a prayer app. There are lots of really good prayer apps. One is called Pray! Pray. That's a really good one. You can add stuff in there. You can set up reminders. You can get reminders throughout the day for various things. You can set up all kinds of different ways. There's another one that's called InstaPray that I know some people that use that. They like that one because every morning when they get up in the morning, it gives them the things that they're going to pray about that day. There are a lot of great ways to do that. These are all free on the App Store. I sound like an iPhone salesman, but they're all on there. And all it takes is just a little bit of effort to find those, enter all the information in, and then in your hand, in your phone that you have with you all the time, you have all the help that you need to be able to do it well. I want you to think just for a second about the prompt in relationship to the content, in relationship to the time, and consider how you can do it, how you can pray better. I'll give you about 20 seconds to think about that. We're now at the end of our prayer series, How to Pray Like Paul, and next Sunday we'll begin our Advent series. But I want to end where I started. All the way back at the introduction, I said, I want us to pray like Paul. And not that we are proud, you know, we get a sore arm from patting ourselves on the back and how good of prayers we are, but I want us all, and I believe we all want to have a prayer life that is effective and honoring to the Lord. And I love the idea that prayer is one of those things that every single one of us as Christians can do well, can do effectively, and do in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. It's not just for some people. It's for every single person that is willing to put in the time and the effort to work on it. So don't believe that, oh, you don't have it in you, or you don't have the right abilities, or you don't know the Bible well enough, or any of those kinds of excuses. Every single one of us could have a fabulous prayer life. So let's just not talk about praying. Let's be people of God who actually pray. Oswald Sanders said this. He said, prayer is the greater work and maybe the greatest work the church can do. So let's make sure that Cooper doesn't have it right, where we only enter his gates on Thanksgiving. Let's do it every day of the year for his name's sake, for the honor and the pleasure of King Jesus in our lives. We can do it, and it's time that we do. And I want to pray that God would help you as you worked on those three strategy pieces, that God will help you carry on in your life and have a prayer life that is pleasing to him. Let me pray for you, and we'll be done. Lord, there are times that my prayer life stinks. There are times that I am ashamed of it. And yet, Lord, there are times that it is thrilling. And I think I'm halfway to heaven already. Lord, it's hard to work at this. We are weak people. It's far easier to come up with excuses. It's far easier just to ignore it and hope it goes away. But Lord, I pray for your people of this church, those that are here, those that are listening online, those that are in our mask required service. Lord, I pray for their praying. I pray, Lord, that you would help them. Give them courage to make a commitment to come up with a strategy that works for them. Lord, I pray that you would give them a deep passion, a deep conviction to pray well for your name's sake. Lord, I pray that you would help them follow through on it. Lord, I pray that they would get tired of their excuses and they would get on their knees and they would actually pray. Lord, I don't want us to be a church that just talks about praying and has series about praying and we read books about praying, but nobody actually prays. Lord, help us to be a church filled overflowing with people who know and understand and appreciate the power of prayer. Lord, help us. For your name's sake and our good and our joy in you. And though, Lord, as we come into the Advent season, we just want you to know we adore you and we want to do it better. Thank you, Lord, for this series, for the challenges, for the example left in Scripture for us to follow. And now, Lord, help us to follow through. I pray in Jesus' name.